Our sermon passage today will be from 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. While this may not be as familiar as many scriptures that we often read on funerals, we certainly will see how wonderfully appropriate God has given us so many perfect words of wisdom and knowledge and encouragement for such a time as this. So please follow along with me. I will read this word for us. 2 Corinthians 4 at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. May God bless this word to us today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we ask that you'd help us. Give us the mental and emotional strength to be able to hear and to receive this word. I pray that what I speak would be accurate and faithful from your hand, that we together might be shaped to know the truth of your gospel, that you might be glorified even in such a difficult and sad time as a funeral. May this truly be a time where we can look back and rejoice in the comfort and hope we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, family and friends and congregation members, we gather today to remember a beloved husband, a brother, an uncle, a friend, a father in the faith. We gather as well to worship the very same Lord Jesus whom Alan worshipped and loved. It's our prayer that we be able to be encouraged by that very same Lord Jesus, just as Alan was himself encouraged by Jesus. The scriptures we read are written for moments like this. We're told not to lose heart because we know we're so often prone to lose heart and be discouraged in the midst of sadness, in the midst of being reminded that all of us will die one day. None of us are getting stronger. All of us are wearing out, no matter what our age, what our birthday. All of us are wearing out, eventually to the point of death. And the main point of this scripture is to remind us that even though the outward body, the outward reality, the outward man is perishing, do not lose heart, dear Christian, because you can truly see. Do not lose heart because you can truly see. We'll notice there's two different categories of things that people see revealed in this passage. First, there is seeing what is seen. Seems obvious, but that's what it says. Seeing what is seen. And secondly, there is seeing what is not seen. Alan had a gift to see things for what they really are. All Christians, by faith, have that same gift. Some people say this passage tells us that Christians can see the invisible. But that's only correct if, when you say that, you mean seeing things that are invisible to the unsaved eye, the non-Christian heart and eye. Because even though eternal things might sometimes be invisible to us, they're just as real. Just yesterday, I was able to sit on the shore of Lake Michigan, a beautiful sunny afternoon, see the beautiful waves coming in. There's all these seagulls around. I wondered why. And all of a sudden, one takes a nosedive, splash right into the water, and up it comes and flies right past me. has a little fish in its mouth. I look really close, and all I see is this beautiful blue water. I don't see any fish at all. That bird had the eyes to see not just what was on the outside, but what was under the surface. In the same way, the Christian has the eyes to see not just what's on the outside, but what truly is. Maybe invisible if you're only looking on the outside, but what truly is in truth there, the eternal things. Well, let's look first at these couple of verses to try to understand how it describes how to see what is seen. What is it that you see today? When you look at the evening news, you try to examine how peaceful the world is around us, or the economy. What's the status of the economy? What's the status of the moral values of our culture? What we see is not good. We see filth, we see corruption, we see murder, evil, greed, selfishness. And these things, not only do we see them, but these things are celebrated by many as good and holy. Actions to be tolerated, protected, even celebrated. And even when we look not just out there, but at our own daily life, even when we're trying our best to honor the Lord with a Christian life, we still see, on the outside, sin, rebellion, pride, chaos, affliction, trouble, sickness. Notice the sorts of words the Bible tells us for what we see. It says in these verses, the things that we see with our eyes are the outward man, the outward person. We see things, it says, that are perishing. We see the word affliction. That's what we see. We see things, it says, that are temporary. All these words are accurate, aren't they? But why? Why does this describe our life and our world? Well, all of these things, all of these troubles and afflictions come ultimately as a result of something that happened a very long time ago. Result of sin. God warned Adam and Eve in paradise thousands of years ago that the very day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day that you pretend you can be your own boss and decide what's right and wrong for yourself, that very day you will surely die. And Adam went ahead and sinned, as we know, and we've seen the terrible consequences in every generation since. And every day, each one of us proves that if we were in that spot where Adam was, we would have done the same. But we all sin, young and old, men and women, boys and girls. We all sin, nice people and not so nice people. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so the perishing of the outward man, the physical death that is coming, is truly something that we deserve. We deserve eternal punishment, not just physical death, but eternal punishment of our bodies and soul in hell for our crimes and our rebellion against our Creator. That's very clear from the Scripture. That's what we deserve. We see that. That's the world we see. But there's more, isn't there? Christians are realists. We don't ignore what's real, the hardship and the trials and the sin. But we also understand that that's not all there is to be seen. We can put it all in the proper perspective because God has given us through His Scripture the ability to see God's perspective. We notice that even in the way verse 16 describes the bad things we look at on the outside. For what we see is perishing. We're here today because of that fact. Every funeral reminds us of the evidence of death, that life perishes. But don't stop looking at what you see today. Don't stop looking at what you see. Start looking at what you don't see. Because only then will you be able to not lose heart. Notice how verse 16 says that what is perishing is the outward man. Only the outward man is perishing. The outward man does matter, but the inward man, our inner being, that is not perishing. At the same time, we are dying in our bodies. It says in our souls, we are being renewed day by day, made newer and newer, more and more like Christ, as other scriptures say. We would all definitely lose heart today unless God gave us this message to show us how to see what is not seen. And that's the second thing we want to look at. How to see what is not seen. It's to be seen. It's there to be seen, but you cannot see it unless you are a Christian. The things that are seen, the troubles and afflictions, they're working for us things that are not seen. Beautiful things, verse 17 says. Exceedingly eternal, wonderful things. Glory, things full of glory. Just like that fish that was under the surface of the water that only the seagull could see. It was going to get a meal to that seagull so it could live to fly and fish another day. It was real. You couldn't see it with the naked eye, but it was real. And verse 16 describes, 17, 18, all these verses describe also what is not seen, but is beautiful. The inward man being renewed. That's beautiful. Verse 17 says there's an exceeding weight of glory. There's a heaviness. There's more than you can possibly imagine or number. Count your many blessings. You'll never run out you'll run out of paper and you'll never run out of blessings to count and describe and list. And verse 18 says these things are eternal. What you see is temporary. But look a little harder and you're going to see what you can't see, and that's eternal things. The forgiveness of your sins. Eternal life in the Lord's presence. Joy in this world serving that God. And this is a conscious choice to give up seeing what's easy to see and look a little further at what you can't see. To give up looking for every chance to feast your eyes upon the pleasures this world offers, its amusements and its temptations, instead to set your mind on something else. There are many ways to illustrate what our scripture is telling us to do. Some of those come from Alan's own life. We read earlier Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Verse 2 was Alan's confirmation verse many years ago now. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." How fitting for Alan to have been shaped as a young man by God's Word in that way. And that as he grew up, as he aged, as he matured through life, his inner man was being made newer and newer and newer day by day. So that he could set his mind even more and more on things above and less on things on this earth, which are temporary. Alan had a deep love for the Lord Jesus, and he strove to know Jesus better and better throughout his whole life. His service as an elder in the church here demonstrated that. Through his faithful prayers, his faithfulness to the truth, uncompromising, and yet also at the same time very compassionate, soft-spoken, so that he could speak the truth in love to those who needed encouragement. And also speak the truth in love to those who needed correction and rebuke. He did both because he set his mind not on what was popular in the moment, but on things above as he lived in the moment. Alan kept a sermon note from a bulletin from some time ago with a message that really resonated with him. The title of that sermon, "Is My Soul Worth This Price?" And it demonstrated how to follow Jesus as his disciple. The sermon was on Mark 8, verse 34 through 38, where Jesus says, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Important words there from our Lord Jesus. We don't want to misunderstand what Jesus is saying or what our scripture is saying in 2 Corinthians. Sometimes people might say we're being told to just think about spiritual things as if those are things from somewhere else, about some future thing. And Jesus is not telling us to save our real life for later when we get to heaven. Jesus is saying, now give up your life, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me in this lifetime. And then you gain both the future life and meaning and purpose in this short temporary life. You see, the Christian is not told to look at future things, but eternal things. Future things are future. Eternal things are now and later. Now and into the future. They never end. They never wear out. They never rust. They never break. And they never die. It's a real challenge for us, isn't it? But that's where the rubber meets the road for the Christian life, to live now in this day for the Lord Jesus. But when we do that, we're seeing the eternal things in this present moment. And that is certainly partly what our scripture means when it says that we are inwardly being renewed day by day. One way this happens is when we go through our daily life and stop seeing our daily life as and interruptions as in our way, things that are troubling us. And if we could only not have all this stuff, we could really accomplish what we want to accomplish. But rather to see all these daily things, not as a nuisance, but as an opportunity and a calling from God, even the interruptions, to live for Him, to love God and our neighbor right now for God's glory. Alan certainly learned this, and God's grace worked in Alan's heart all his life so that he could show this more and more. We cannot walk around this church building or the parsonage property where I live next door and not see the evidence of Alan Stoshy's love for the Lord Jesus. You can see the shed over there. Alan and many other volunteers in our congregation built that shed. You see the decorative painting on the walls in the cry room or the bathrooms. Alan and his dear wife, Marilyn, painted those. For years, the floors were waxed, the bulletins folded every Sunday morning by the Stoshies. What's remarkable is Alan did all these things, and he was never a deacon. He was never a janitor. He didn't have the job to do anything like that, a special title or description. He was never the outdoor custodian, but he faithfully trimmed the bushes and planted a tree. You don't have to have a specific title or job description to have a significant place in the eternal things of God's kingdom now. In this moment, everything we do or say has meaning and is to be done to the glory of God. So what do you see in your life? What do you see today? Do you see eternal things, opportunities to do things that matter for eternity, for others and for the Lord and His kingdom? You and I do not know what will happen tomorrow or even 10 minutes from now. And so now, in this moment, the only one we have, we are to see what cannot be seen. We are called to live with the eyes of faith and look to Jesus so we can see what we cannot see. The things eternal. On the morning that Alan went to the hospital last week, it started as a normal morning. He made breakfast for his beloved wife. He led her in devotions from God's Word. He did not know that those would be the last things he would be able to do for anyone. But it didn't really matter if he would have known that. Because quite honestly, he simply served the Lord faithfully, seeing the eternal things, showing love to his closest neighbor, and together with her, showing love to his God and Savior, day by day. A few years ago, I sat with Al and Marilyn in their home for a visit. I was asking them for wisdom on what they have learned in their life and what they see as challenges for the future for Christians and the Church of our Lord Jesus. And among the things that were said, Alan mentioned right away, without hesitating, how the more he has been a Christian, the more he knows he's a sinner in need of a Savior. An 80-year-old man has gotten so wise to know he's a sinner saved by grace. He trusted in Jesus to pay the penalty for his sins, surrendered his life to a Savior who loved him so much. He remembered his confirmation verse with that approach, didn't he? Setting his mind on things above, where Christ is, and not on things on the earth. To set your mind on things above is to set your mind on Christ himself. Because heaven is not just a great family reunion of all the Christians who've ever lived. Heaven is about departing from this world and being with Christ himself, which is far better. So we do not lose heart. Oh, we see the things that we see today, and we cry, but that's not all we see. We see the things that are not seen. We see that all that this world can offer to me is just temporary things. And all the pain and suffering I have in this world is just a light affliction compared to the glory that awaits me. Alan was never too old to serve the Lord Jesus and to be active in the life of this congregation. He came to our church camp every year to cook the burgers. Last year he wore a shirt which adequately sums up his perfect blend of faith and humor that is so attractive and winsome to us all. There's a picture of this I put in the back. The shirt read, "Work for God. The retirement benefits are great." Work for God, the retirement benefits are great. Praise God that Alan is experiencing some of those benefits even now. How about you? What do you see? Who do you work for? Do you work for the weekend? Do you work for your personal retirement? Or do you work for God? Is your soul worth the price of denying your own bright ideas of what's best and submitting to the Creator who made you and this whole universe? He is the one who knows what is best. He is the one who shows us why we don't lose heart. All our troubles seem heavy burdens to us, but with the eyes of faith, they're light afflictions. Even this funeral, even this season of mourning, is a light affliction. It is an affliction, but it's a light one. Even the anxiety about tomorrow and the future for ourselves and our world and our congregation, it's but for a moment. It's temporary. God is bringing a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See those things today. Those are the eternal things. And then you too can experience the eternal retirement benefits of belonging to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Father, how we thank and praise you for your love. We praise you for the truth of your word, the grace that you have shown to your people in every generation. We thank you for doing that in the life of our dear brother Alan, so that we can see a visible illustration of so much of what we have seen. We acknowledge that he was a sinner. He was not perfect, just as all of us are sinners. But we thank you for his faith that Jesus is his only hope. And we pray we would have that same faith We pray that you would comfort us, look down in compassion upon us in our time of mourning, strengthen us with your mercies, that we might not faint under this time of sorrow. Help us to find our strength and refuge in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As you're turning now to hymn 712, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day. What a perfect confession of faith to see those things that are eternal. And as you're